Black Leadership Summit. With that, we're not really keeping anyone out. It's just called the Black Leadership Summit because we will be discussing Black issues and how we can fix those Black issues through conservative values and through constitutionalism and such things as that. But we're not keeping anyone out. Like, anyone can come. So, I mean, I, like, with the Black Leadership Summit, I agree with things like that. But if you're basically saying, oh, you can't come if you're not this, then okay, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, because again, let's just say a movement had a whites only conservative movement, or a blacks only liberal movement, or a white only liberal movement. That would be taken a lot worse than if you had a black or Asian or Hispanic just mm-hmm. only movement. Let's say there was, because you said Black Leadership Summit. Let's say there was a WLS, White Leadership Summit. That would not be taken as well, in a sense. Let's say it was the White Poverty mm-hmm. Leadership Summit, where people, like the rednecks, wanted to go and feel like they want their voices want to be heard. I don't think that would be taken as well, even if they did invite every other group of people there. I don't think that would be taken as well.
And that's unfortunate, but that's the climate that we live in now.
All right, hey guys, this is Two Classy Gentlemen Podcast. I'm David, and on the show today, we actually have a new guest, Charisse Lane. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing quite well. And actually, before we get started with the discussion, interview, debate, however we're going to call it today, where is actually the best place to find you on social media, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, wherever they may be able to find mm-hmm. you?
You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Charisse Lane, CharrisseLane. So that's my name on all three platforms.
Fantastic. That will be in the description below, so you guys can go check that out. Go follow her, please. That amazing conservative, go check her out. And I guess we can hop into our discussion for today. The major one and the side one is going to be Justin Trudeau, because I always love ripping on that man because of who he is. But the topic of today, big discussion, is using identity politics as, I wouldn't say as a conservative, but in general. How do you mm-hmm. feel that being used in politics? Whether it be right or wrong, how do you feel it being used in politics?
I mean, when it comes to, I would say when it comes to the right, because when it comes to the left, they oftentimes, they try to use it against people, and they use it in the wrong way. But I really believe that everyone plays identity politics in some way. For instance, me, I call myself a Black conservative, and I found that a lot of people on the right have had a problem with me calling myself a Black conservative, because they're like, okay, we're all Americans. You know, you don't have to necessarily say that you're Black. And I mean, of course, I agree that we're all Americans, but if I'm just saying I'm a Black conservative and not using it in the wrong way, then I don't think that it's a problem. And I think that actually everyone uses identity politics in some way or another, whether you call yourself a Christian conservative or independent conservative or Black conservative or things like that. Everyone uses identity politics in some way or another, just probably not in the wrong way.
I would definitely agree with, and that's the way I actually agree with it being used. The way I disagree, and I think you probably would, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I don't like the whole thing where they like separate people amongst their groups. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a woman's retreat or like a young people retreat, because that's two different things. That's not race and ethnicity. That's just women usually do better with women, guys do better with guys, and younger people usually do better with younger people. So that's usually, there's no racial mix up mm-hmm. like, or segregating people or putting people together. That's where I sort of draw the line on the fact. Like, I think that if your movement, the conservative movement, or the liberal movement, wherever you line your parties on, I think if your ideology is as good as you say it is, it shouldn't have to be split up into possibly pandering to a group of people. Mm-hmm. As you're saying, hey, we have a whole movement over here for Black liberals or Black libertarians. Hey, come to this, and then nobody else can come to that event. Even let's just say that there's an event in Alaska, and they say, hey, only Black liberals can come to this event, but white people live up in Alaska and they want to go to an event mm-hmm. for their liberal ideology. I don't think that's fair for them or the Asians or the Eskimos or whoever else may be up there. because they're not able to enjoy what's going on because they're not allowed to go.
Right. You know, I would agree with that, but also, okay, this an event that I'm going to, the Black Leadership Summit. With that, we're not really keeping anyone out. It's just called the Black Leadership Summit because we will be discussing Black issues and how we can fix those Black issues through conservative values and through constitutionalism and such things as that. But we're not keeping anyone out. Like, anyone can come. So, I mean, with the Black Leadership Summit, I agree with things like that. But if you're basically saying, oh, you can't come if you're not this, then okay, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, because again, let's just say a movement had a whites-only conservative movement or a blacks-only liberal movement or a white-only liberal movement. That would be taken a lot worse than if you had a black or Asian or Hispanic just mm-hmm. only movement. Let's said Black Leadership Summit. Let's say there was a WLS, White Leadership Summit. That would not be taken as well, in a sense. Let's say it was the White Poverty mm-hmm. Leadership Summit, where people, like the rednecks, want to go and feel like they want their voices want to be heard. I don't think that would be taken as well, even if they did invite every other group of people there. I don't think that would be taken as well.
And that's unfortunate, but that's the climate that we live in now. You know, everyone is against white people, and everybody blames white people for everything, which I don't agree with. But for me, for instance, I will call myself pro-black, but not in the sense of being a pro-black extremist where, oh, I hate other races, or I want to kick other races out of other stuff, out of like stuff that I do. But I'm just pro-black in the sense of I want the betterment of the black community, like what's better for them and the prolonging of it. But again, what you said, that's very unfortunate, but that's just the climate that we live in now. So I wouldn't mind if someone said, oh, I'm pro-white. If I can be pro-black, you can be pro-white. Just don't be against other races.
That makes sense.
Yes, don't hate other races. If you're pro-white, okay, you want what's best for the white community. And same with me, I want what's best for the black community, and I just want the prolonging of them. So, I mean, that's me, but a lot of people have disagreed with me, and, you know, not everyone is going to agree with me, which is okay. Yeah. But that's what I am at the end of the day. I would consider myself a pro-black, black conservative.
Yeah. Now, again, if I said that and I said I'm a pro-white,
yeah,
that might not
sound it'll get taken good. The wrong way, which I can understand where you guys are coming from, and I don't agree with it. I believe if I can be pro-black, you can be pro-white, just not hating other races.
Yeah, and then the issue is that I'm also a quarter Indonesian, so they're like, I don't even know where I fit, because I'm like, so again, the weird thing is, we live in America, we live in this melting pot, but mm-hmm. there is no Asian, like, hey, go support the Asian community, even though they are a voting bloc. Nobody goes to them, nobody really goes to the Native Americans, other than Elizabeth Warren. God bless Pocahontas.
She's not even Native American.
But, like, that's what, like, I feel like the politics, and again, that's why they are called identity politics, because they're going towards individual people that will help them win elections. I think, again, the Asian community never really gets a fair shake in anything. Like, hey, we got to, again, they were the ones that were thrown, the Japanese were thrown into concentration camps at the national parks. That's a pretty big deal, but nobody ever really mentions that because of the economic success they had.
They were thrown in them here in the United States?
They were during World War II, because after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, FDR didn't trust any Japanese Americans, so they put them in concentration camps. Not like
I believe they got reparations for that also.
I believe they did. I believe, and then again, that's another thing where I say I don't necessarily disagree with, and again, I found myself on the minority with this. I don't mind giving African Americans that were, again, not ones that came from like 100 years ago, but the ones that actually mm-hmm. have people, which is a hard thing to do, but they are the only group of people that never got reparations from what actually happened. They are the only group of people that never
got reparations. And let me touch on that. I wouldn't necessarily say get reparations from, you know, white people, but okay, get reparations from Democrats, because it's those policies that basically got us into the place that we were in. And also, if I were to agree with reparations, I wouldn't want a check per se, but maybe business grants, such things as that, business grants, land, getting property taxes off that land, things like that. Like not in a form of check, not in a form of a check, but things that will help us basically pick ourselves up.
Yeah, I think
because a check won't help.
The Democrats are going at it the wrong way because, again, a lot of people that would be getting the check might not be economically standing well. So that means they're going to spend it right away on something. And then the check is going to be basically useless. And it's just going to go right back to the government. So at the end of the day, the government's
And also, it's kind of like confusing because it's like everybody is kind of mixed with something. So let's say someone looks white, but they're actually like mixed. Like, how would you be able to prove that, okay, they have some type of black or African-American in them? And also, black, it really isn't, like, it's kind of, it's really confusing. Because the term black is not, I forgot the word, but
there's
if
more
you say
than
black, like, what country, like, what?
There's African. Yeah. It's not, or, and again, there's even countries within Africa. It's like Asia. Everybody says, well, the Asians are Oriental. There's actually, the Russians are Asians. The Indians are Asians. The Mongols are, there are different kinds of people out there. They're all classified as Asian, but you only think of one type of Asian, just like you think of one type of Spanish being Latin American, but there's Spaniards over in Spain. And everything, it's confusing. That's why I see your point where it could be hard to get the whole reparation thing going. And again, I think I'm more for it in the sense of where you're coming from, where maybe property taxes get lowered in certain areas and stuff like that. So
business grants for us to start businesses, things like that. But then there's different types of black. Like there's Caribbean black, there's African black, and then there's adults, the American descendants of slaves. Like, my mom is a dose. My dad is from Jamaica. Would I get those reparations? Even though I was born, like, even though my dad is from Jamaica, but I was born here, would I get those reparations? Like, it's just things like that.
Yeah, it's weird. And again, at the end of the day, there are going to be African Americans that didn't get that weren't slaves, but now they're getting taxed more because they have to pay for the reparations. Which again, it's a discussion that I think we should have. But I don't think both sides are coming from the right direction, because the second a conservative hears reparations, they go, no. And then the second the Democrat hears they don't want it, they're like, you're a racist. And then it just never comes to the middle. And I think that there's a way we could possibly get to this in a timely manner. But I don't think either side wants to get there, because they both want to take the votes for themselves. Or
it's very difficult. It's a very difficult topic. And I'm in the middle with this because it's such a difficult topic, and it's something that it takes more than one conversation to come to a conclusion with. But I wouldn't necessarily say I don't want reparations for Black Americans, but at the same time, how would they get those reparations, and what forms? If it's just in a check, how much money would you even get with the check? Would it be every month? Would it be once a year? It's just things like that comes with the reparations talk.
And again, there is a group of people that are still getting reparations, and they're actually a dying community. That would be the Native Americans. They're put on reservations getting reparations, and that's basically we've talked to people from the Native American community that have been like, it's like a socialist country living in those little reservations, because the government just controls everything. They make you do tests to make sure that you're Indian enough, make sure you're Native American enough, which again, I don't think African Americans want them being tested to make sure that they're, it feels sort of like now you're just a number in the government, because they're going to check on, well, is your kid enough? Are you enough? And then it seems weird to say that you would get tested to get reparations. And I don't think a lot of people would be up for that. I wouldn't be up for
it. No. There's just different types of black in America in itself. So it's just a conversation that we have to start, and it takes more than one conversation to get to the conclusion with it. But I would say Democrats, they're just saying that they want to give us reparations. I can really say they just want to give us reparations just for votes. So they just want to say they're going to give us reparations just to get our votes, because they need Black American votes, and they thrive on it. So that's what I don't agree with.
Yeah. So in that sense of identity politics, using trying to get blacks to vote for you because, hey, well, the white man treated you bad 150 years ago and possibly up to the Jim Crow law era. Mm-hmm. you deserve this. We're going to make sure you get this. That's the type of stuff I would be like, okay, this
is- I disagree with that. Yeah. But when I'm saying, oh, I'm a black conservative, like, and I'm pro-black, I think that people on the right have to realize that when it comes to black conservatives, you have to realize that we're proud to be both black and conservative. Like, we're not, just because we call ourselves conservative doesn't mean we're going to disassociate ourselves from calling ourselves black, because we're proud of our heritage and our culture and like what our people have gone through in this country. So I would say, yes, I have a sense of black pride, but no, I wouldn't put it over like God. I wouldn't use it as an idol. That's not my God, but at the same time, I'm still proud to be black American, black conservative, things like that. And I dislike when people on the right accuse me of identity politics just for saying, oh, I'm proud to be black and conservative. Like, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, I think they see some people not, again, I've seen your post. I've actually never seen identity politics using your post. And if I have, it was to the degree we were talking about right now. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that use their identity to be like, hey, I am this type of conservative. You should vote because let's throw the most outlandish type of person. I am a transgender, gay, black, female, non-binary. You should vote Republican because I believe this way. And look, the trans should see this community because the conservative movement is helping this community. I feel like that was like, again, it's an arbitrary thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to single anybody out because God forbid somebody's like, oh, they called that person out. No, I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying that this could be seen or aligned with possibly like, hey, they're using their identity to say vote for this community.
Yes, I don't agree with that. And that's what people have to understand when it comes to me. If I'm voting for someone, I'm voting based on my values, based on my Christian values. I'm not voting for them because they're black or because, say, gay or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't vote for them based on that. I would vote for them based on the values and those if those policies I would vote for them based on their policies, and if those policies match up with my value, then I'm gonna vote for them.
Yeah, I mean,
and I would want somebody to do the same with me if I was running. Don't vote for me just because I'm a black conservative woman. Vote for me because my policies match up with the values that you believe in.
Yeah, because you should never give up your morals and your ethics and your ideology because you want to vote for somebody who looks like you or acts mm-hmm. like you or talks like you. You never wanted to, because again, you got AOC going to black NAACP things, talking in slang. And then again, I guarantee you, if she went over to Georgia in the hills of Georgia, wherever she may go, she'll be talking in a Southern redneck accent just to get her votes in. And again, that's mm-hmm. where I don't like to see that come into play, because she's just pandering. And I hate pandering mm-hmm. communities, because it's the worst.
And a lot of the people that I talked to, a lot of the black Americans that I talked to about that show, they were basically telling me that was very cringy of her to do that. And not all of us talk like that. Do you think we sound like that? Like, she sounded very ignorant when she was talking, and not all of us talk like that. So that was offensive to me. I don't really get offended easily, but I just had to step back and look at that and say, okay, so do you think that we're dumb or something? Do you think that we're going to vote for you just because you talk in an accent that you think that we talk in? Yeah. No, ma'am.
She took like an SNL skit and was like, hey, how can I make this SNL skit become real life? And that's basically what she did. You could see somebody like her going out there and going and just speaking in the most like ebonics possible, like way possible. And you just looking in the crowd and people are just like, what are you doing?
She tries too hard.
Yeah, and again, if your policies, like I said, if your policies are that good or you believe in them that much, you shouldn't have to pander with your voice, with your gender, right, with your race or anything. If the politics are that good, you shouldn't have to mm-hmm. pander to a community at all if they're really.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, and that's more where I come from. I do see some people, and again, definitely in both communities, because you can see it happen with Barack Obama. And it happens sometimes in the conservative movement where you see people, well, look, they look like you, or they talk like you, or they act like you, or this person is helping out the community, or so they say they are. Go vote for them, or go vote for what they're saying. Don't listen to what they're saying. Just do what they're saying, pretty much. Just like, hey, they're saying go vote for this person, go vote for this person. And it's like, no, don't.
Yeah, I disagree with that. now you're understanding where I'm coming from when I say saying that you're a black conservative isn't really identity politics, but at the same time it kind of is, but as long as you're not using it in the wrong sense.
Yeah, for sure. And again, there is it's not a privilege, but it's a concern. It's a negative for white Americans. Hey, we're white, we're pro.
Yeah.
Because you can't say it, and I understand why you can't say it, because again, studied history, I'm a history major, I know that it's not, there's a time and a, I wouldn't say there's a time and a place, there's no reason for a white American to say, hey, I'm pro white. It doesn't really do anything at this point. We never really,
yes,
white people really,
I understand what you're saying,
they never had to go through an adversity in a sense, mm-hmm. other than what everybody else had to in the country. We never really had to go over and go through a major. That's why I hate when people say there's no such thing. And again, and this is another white right wing talking point, saying that there's no such thing as white privilege. There is, in a certain sense, where we really never had to struggle to a certain degree in everything. Overall, that's why the economic standard seems to be. And again, the Asian community is the outlier. They just basically do everything better than everybody else, no matter what, which is insane. I'm like, dang it, I wish I had more of your genes, but I don't. So I'm stuck with the white trailer trash. But that is what it is. And it's – I just don't like when people say there's no such thing as white privilege, because there is to a degree, but not to the degree where the left says it, where we should be paying money back in reparations via checks. But not to the right where they're saying, well, it never happened. The white people were just like African-Americans in the 60s, which is not true.
With the white privilege, I would say you can't be blaming white people for their parents. Like, yeah. We're basically working hard to provide a better life for them. At the end of the day, if you want to have the same lifestyle, you need to work just as hard as their parents. Even if you didn't grow up as privileged as they did, just don't blame them for, you know, being born into that. Like, yeah. Don't blame them for that. So I don't agree with people blaming white people for everything like that. I find that very distasteful, because they can't get blamed for something that they were born into.
Especially when the younger generation hasn't done anything and they're still like, being blamed for things that their parents could have done, or somebody else. But if you haven't done it, and you're not really receiving the benefits of what your parents did. You're just like if you're an adult in your 20s and 30s, you're your own person now. It's up to you to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. We live in America. We are probably the most. This is where you can have the American dream. You can do whatever you want to.
Right, I agree.
Which again, you can become a lawyer. You can become a podcast talk show host. You can go on YouTube and make videos and possibly make money, which is insane to think of 20 years ago that could ever happen, which is why, and again, it's not discriminating from any type of race, even though Vox might tell you different. They might say, hey, they're discriminating against the LGBTQ. They had a whole month dedicated to promoting that mm-hmm. community. So it's like on YouTube and giving them extra benefits on that, which is, again, I feel a little left out, because it should be LGBTQAAI. P, dual spirited, and then the S for the straight at the end.
And wait, going back to the white privilege thing, I wouldn't necessarily say I believe in per se white privilege, but I believe in white liberal privilege, because I've experienced this, white people calling me certain names because I believe in conservative values or I support President Trump, and basically they're getting away with that. Like, nobody is calling them out on calling me as a black woman, calling me these derogatory names that they should not be calling me. For instance, someone called, who was it? Was it Alexandria Ocasio? Called Lynn Patton a token or something like that. And I'm just like, why didn't she get called out for calling her that? That's obviously racist to call a black woman that. Like, do not do that.
Yeah,
but no one's going to call her out.
Yeah, somebody.
It was a token or something like that that they called Lynn Patton. And I just did not agree with that at all. And I think that that's racist, and you shouldn't say that at all.
Yeah, no, first of all, it's not true. So you're defaming the person. You're putting them in a situation where now everybody thinks of you as that. And it's harder to disprove it than to actually prove it. So it's rough for that. And then also, like you said, the liberal privilege, we can see it in other stuff too, such as certain people in upper standing wearing blackface, such as Ralph Northam, we don't know if he was the slave or if he was the KKK hoodie guy. Either way, I've never seen somebody actually dress up as that type of costume for a Halloween party. So that was a little weird to begin with. And then Justin Trudeau up in Canada, who said to a woman, you should use people kind instead of mankind, got found in blackface, dark face, black makeup, whatever he wants to say. It was blackface, whatever he wants to say. Three different times on three different separate occasions in three different photographs. So it's like, for the man who says that we should be equal to all and all this stuff and that blackface is bad and all this, and then he gets caught in it. I don't call him a racist. I just call him extremely hypocritical.
Yes, I would call him hypocritical also. And if you're a liberal and they believe in, you know, taking people out, basically taking people down based on their past, and you're not delivering on that, you are being hypocritical. Same thing goes with Ralph Northam. I don't necessarily think he should step down. If anything, he should step down for his comments on the abortion and believing, believing in that kind of stuff. But with his past, if you're a Democrat and your party believes in taking people down and taking people out from their past, and they didn't do that to him, then they're all hypocrites.
Yeah, and again, I don't think Trudeau should have apologized for wearing the blackface. I think he should have apologized for being hypocritical and all the other stuff that he's done in Canada that's caused socialism and all that stuff that's caused their premiums to go up and everything such as that. That's what he should be apologizing. He should be apologizing to the Canadian people on that sense. But again, that's Canada. I can care less about them. Right. I just want to make fun of Justin Trudeau. But on the Ralph Northam issue is that, like, imagine if let's pick an old white guy on the Republican side. Mitch McConnell, he's one. Imagine if we found him in blackface in a week from now. And he's in blackface. He's wearing a Michael Jackson wig and everything. He's out there. He's got the glove on. He would be, in a sense, lynched for doing that by the whole media. He would be gone. He would be asked to be recalled. Everything would be gone for that. But Ralph Northam does it. He's either the slave or the KKK member. Neither one good. And we stop talking about it. It's gone. Again, Republicans keep bringing it up time and time, but it's never like the Democrats let the story go.
Yes, and you know they kind of control the conversations that we all talk about. So, I mean, there's that. And also, They put out this narrative that a lot of Republicans, white Republicans, are racist. That's the perception that they have, that the Democrats give out. Even my dad, like I was basically speaking to my dad. My dad's not a Trump supporter, not a Republican or anything like that. But I was speaking to him, and he was basically like, "Well, why are you supporting these white Republicans, these white racist Republicans? Why are you supporting this president? He's racist." And I'm just talking to my dad. I just keep thinking, how can I get my dad's mind to change on certain stuff? And someone has brainwashed my dad into thinking that all these Republicans are racist and Democrats are for him and President Trump is racist and this and that. But that's the feel that Democrats give off when it comes to Republicans, and especially they're giving that off to the black community. They keep the black community in fear and try to keep them scared, when in reality, shouldn't be that way at all.
Yeah, and repetition, keep seeing it over and over again. Republican racist, conservative racist, conservative homophobia, conservative this. You keep seeing it in the media. Eventually, it just becomes ingrained into it. Like, again, I watch CNN every day because I'm like, I do it for you guys. I do it for you guys out there because you shouldn't have to watch it. I watch it for you. But
good for you, because I don't watch it.
It's awful. I watch Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, and Anderson Cooper, and I'm like, oh, you never hear a positive story. There's a lot of positive stories out there. There's a lot of things that Trump has done that are good. He's done some bad things. But when Obama was president, all you heard were the good things. You never heard the bad things. And anytime a Republican criticized Obama on anything, he's a racist. And it's like, but he's not. He's just criticizing the president's ideology or what he was doing. But again, the liberal movement sees it as, well, if you criticize an African-American, a woman, a gay man, a lesbian, or any type of other type of minority group, you are being that type of ist, racist, sexist, homophobic, whatever it is. And it gets ingrained and ensconced in somebody's head. And that's where your dad could be stuck with seeing all, that's all he saw. All he saw, all he, airports, bars, restaurants, they have to play because they have a TV contract with CNN that they just constantly see that stuff over and over again.
It's actually quite depressing. And I'm kind of upset because when it comes to the term racist and racism, they've used it so much and they've used it for different stuff that's not even racist that they've kind of outstretched the meaning of racism, and what could be racism is not even seen as racism anymore. Like, certain stuff is racist, certain stuff isn't, but I think that you shouldn't use the term racist for everything. That just, it just loses its meaning, and it has lost its meaning over time. And I'm really upset about that, because people from back then, if they were alive now and they saw stuff that people were calling racist, they would say, that's not racist. You know, you could get offended a little bit, but that's not racist. And I just don't think that that's right.
Yeah, I would say the four most overused words in the media on the left and the right are socialism, not neo-Nazi, racist, and homophobic. That's all you, and it's a constant, again, because not everything the left does is socialist. So we can't just keep saying that's socialist, because it's not. They have a lot of that policies, but they're not all socialist. Just like Republicans. There are neo-Nazis in the right, far, far ring of the party.
That what do you even define as neo-Nazi? Because I even feel like that's offensive to even use the term neo-Nazi or Nazi for someone when they're not even that.
Yeah.
Like, that's offensive. I studied the Holocaust movement in the 10th grade. I had to write a whole research paper on it. I had to give a presentation. I watched all the videos, read the books. And I would say for people to use the term neo-Nazi the way they do now is really ridiculous. I even met someone, I think when he was younger, he was a little kid. He was basically, him and his parents escaped from basically being in the Holocaust, like when that stuff started to happen. And if I were to ask him, is this person a neo-Nazi or a Nazi? Pretty sure he would say no.
Yeah, I mean, because most people aren't looking for the extermination of the Jewish people, so.
Or you use everything in a wrong connotation these days, and it's just really aggravating.
Yeah, and again, we ruin the term racist for people who are actually racist, because there are people that are that in America.
Exactly.
In the world, but we're making it so light that when you hear the word, it's like, are they really? Or are you just saying it so you can get some clicks and views or get people to watch CNN?
Right.
And I'm like, it doesn't help. And then when they actually are, it's like the boy who cried wolf. You're like, well, he was. I said he was. But you say about everybody. So how am I supposed to believe you on this instance?
Yeah. And if, for instance, if I really believe somebody's racist, I'm going to say that they are racist. But then I guess people on the right have gotten so used to, like, oh my goodness, like they're calling everything racist, that if I say someone is racist, they'll kind of get defensive, or they won't believe me, because the term racist and racism has been used so much that it's basically lost its meaning. So that's the unfortunate thing about people on the left using it so much, that if I call someone out on it, and if I really believe that they are, people kind of don't believe me when it comes to that.
Yeah, no, I completely understand where you're coming from. Again, I believe Steve King, I think his name is Steve, in the House of Representatives, is considered a racist by both parties, but he just keeps getting reelected because he lives like in this like little tiny niche, like, and I think in Kentucky. So he's never going to lose, because unless he gets primaried, which I hope he does get primaried, because I'm sick and tired of him being that one token guy. I can say token about him, because he is that one freaking token guy that the left keeps going, well, you voted him in. And I'm like, a district of 10,000 people voted him in. That does not does not reflect the entire conservative movement, because one loser candidate keeps getting in because nobody's primarying him.
Right. So, yeah. We'll see with that when it comes to Steve King. I don't know much about Steve King, but I mean, I hear he's racist from some people, and I hear that he isn't from others. But I don't really know what to say on him, because I haven't really researched anything about him. But
yeah, he's the one candidate that we actually have to research, because it's like everybody goes straight to him. So I'm like, I have to know enough about him to go like, yeah. You know what? You got the one candidate. There's 189 for the Republicans, and you got the one. congratulations. You got the one. We're trying to get him out. He's not allowed to be on any committee in the House of Representatives. So he's basically just a one singular vote in the entire thing. Which, again, should he be there? He got voted in. So should they primary him? Yes, they should. But I don't know. That's up for the people of that district to decide.
That's up to them. Hey, to each his own. I don't really know anything about Steve King. I'm just going to leave him over there.
But yeah, again, but my major thing in all of this at the end of the day with the whole, I don't believe anybody should be canceled, like with the whole blackface thing. I don't think they should be I don't think they should be forced to resign or whatever they may be. Or like if, oh, our cancer culture, like, hey, we're going to boycott this because this individual said a mean joke about conservatives or a mean joke about liberals or whatever. Like, again, Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle. They shouldn't be canceled. They're comedians. They're saying mm-hmm. jokes to make people laugh and trying to be edgy. That's right.
I just believe if you're a Democrat and you Democrats, they're always trying to cancel somebody. And then one of the Democrats does something that basically, okay, it's time to cancel and they don't cancel. That's very hypocritical. So, I mean, when it comes to the American Democratic leader, what's his name again? Ralph Northam.
Ralph Northam.
Yes. I think that they should cancel him because, I mean, that's all they do, cancel culture, the Democrats.
My only
they
thing
didn't even cancel him yet.
Yeah. My only thing with that is that I would just wish, just like censorship, I wish nobody got censored. Unless you are mm-hmm. breaking the actual law, you should not be censored right. on social media. You should You should not be canceled, even if they are being hypocritical. And they cancel everybody else. I don't think the right should again. And we usually don't because we're trying to keep the free speech going and just keep.
Sometimes, because people have tried to cancel me. Some people on the right for calling out some stuff. And, you know, I'm not, even in the conservative movement, I did not participate in monolithic thought. I am a free thinking American. That's what some people have to understand when it comes to me. So some people have tried to cancel me, but, you know, I'm still here. I'm still conservative. I'm still Christian. I still support President Trump, and hey, I mean, I'm just Charisse.
Yeah, and again, the thing is that we can all be the conservative Republican movement can all be one thing, but there are different factions to it, and you can agree and disagree mm-hmm. on certain things. If you agree on everything with everybody, you might be doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you're agreeing with everybody on everything, are you really thinking, or are you just being
right.
a bot? Is that all? I mean, that's right. That's what I see it now.
Right, and I absolutely agree. I'm here to open up people's minds. I'm here to start a conversation. I'm here to spread decent dialogue. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I offend someone, okay, everyone offends someone at one point in their life. But at the end of the day, I'm here to start conversation. And to open up people's minds, and you know, let's conversate and do what we can to fix an issue that we believe is an issue.
I'm offended by that, but no, but no, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and we have come to the close of the show. So I really, really do appreciate you coming on. So we could have went on this for this mm-hmm. this is a topic that could just go off into a rabbit trail forever, but
okay. Yeah.
Hopefully we can have you on again sometime soon and talk more about this or in the near future, whenever that may be. But before we do finish, where is the best place to find you on social media, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, Twitter?
Yes. Or- and I'll say it again. It's on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Charisse Lane, CharrisseLane.
Fantastic. And again,
and I also have one YouTube. I don't really do YouTube, but I have one YouTube video. And my name is Charisse Lane on there as well. It was talking about the law in New York concerning abortion. I did that like earlier this year, if you want to see that.
Well, we'll definitely put that in the description below so everybody can see that video. And again, thank you so much for coming on. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And remember, always, always, always keep it classy.